Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Okay, it's actually just so funny because what I love about Shopify is no matter how huge and massive you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control. Yes, daddy. And take your business to the next level, because we're business women. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/bookclub. That's shopify.com/bookclub, all lowercase. shopify.com/bookclub.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
Celebrity Book Club.
Frida, you look so beautiful in the San Francisco light, the wind making your ruffled dresses.
Yes, I know. Diego, you love my traditional Mexican dresses, but do you love them as much as the Russian whores or the French whores?
Hi, can I take your order?
Two espressos, please. One double espresso for my beautiful wife, Rita, please. And a plate of fruits. Would you like anything else, my love?
No. The only thing I would like in addition to a beautiful plate of fruits would be your head on a platter. Oh. You disgusting obese man. I hate that I've married you.
Oh, but Rita, you're so sexy when you're mad. And your back stays so stiff because of your back issues. And then your bosom juts out and gets all plump because you are so mad at me. That will be just two espressos. And my wife is menstruating and it makes her so powerful when she does.
Okay. I'll be right back.
I want to paint you this afternoon. Let's go by the sea. Ah. And I want you to sit and I want to paint you.
Diego, I'm too busy. I have my own paintings to make. Yes, my breasts are heaving and they are heavy and they are almost hard to detach, but I don't want you looking at me right now. You have all the other girls to look at.
Oh, the other girls are nothing. I mean, of course, yes, I love making love with women across the globe, whether they're Russian or Italian or Spanish or just a plain old Jane from Nueva York.
I love when you describe your affairs for some reason. It turns me on.
There's an erotic sensation to hear you fucking
these disgusting Trotskyites.
I have a meeting at 5 o'clock with Ford. I hate the politics and I hate the selling of cars because I am but a communist who believes in workers, but I think you look so beautiful in an automobile.
I cannot argue with that. The divine feminine in this metal, steel, ghastly machine.
Waiter, do you have a pen, a paper, a receipt, anything, a napkin?
Sure.
This is it. This is going to be my new fresco. It's going to be you in the mountains north of Mexico City. And then cars cascading down the mountains into a factory. Well, then there will be a portrait of all these American workers. You inspire me.
This is beautiful. Your mind, it is a terrible thing, but the one thing for which I am more grateful than anything in this world. I will die because of your passions and your poisons.
I will die for you, muerto.
Who's that knocking at the door? It's all your friends, you filthy whore. Your husband's gone, and we've got books and a bottle of wine to kill.
It's Hollywood.
It's books.
It's gossip.
I'm shook.
It's memoirs.
It's martinis.
It's Studio 54.
It's
Bellini. Celebrity Book Club.
Come read it while it's hot.
Celebrity Book Club.
Tell your secrets, we won't talk.
Celebrity Book Club.
No boys are allowed. Book Club.
Buzz me in, I brought the Cuervo.
Hola! Mejor amiga!
Hola, amigo.
¿Qué pasa?
literally, ¿qué the fuck pasa? ¿Qué pasa, of course, is what's up in Spanish.
For those of you who don't know, yeah. Spanish is one of our favorite languages.
If you know, you know.
You know, you literally know. As I've said, if you grew up in America, you do speak Spanish. You just need to find it. It's in there.
I agree. And even though someone who took Spanish throughout high school, and I feel like I don't remember a lot of it, I think I do. I think it's there.
It's muscle memory.
I need to access it. Why are we talking about the Spanish language?
Because we are talking about a Spanish-speaking artist.
One of the most famous Mexican artists, but one of the most famous artists, I'm going to go ahead and say.
He's definitely up there.
Yeah.
You've heard of him.
You've absolutely heard of him.
Certainly when we're talking about North American, we're talking about Western Hem.
Oh, when the Western of the Hem is involved.
Honey.
Even though he seems to kind of...
He actually is so into, like, European art.
Yeah.
Right. Even though he's like, I'm obsessed with being a Mexican artist.
I'll say, yeah, basically.
I mean, he's very passionate about everything.
Right. So he loves Eastern Europe, but yet, like.
Everything he experiences, he feels just extremely excited by.
This book is so passionate.
Yeah.
It's one of the most passionate men I've ever met through text, I think.
Is he toxic? We'll discuss. Of course, we're talking about.
None other than Frida's husband,
Boothang. Frida Kahlo's Boothang, famous Mexican painter, muralist. Diego Rivera.
And his book,
My Art,
My Life,
An Autobiography.
So, people, how do you pick the books? This was kind of a classic. It just came to me. I was at a totally weird bookstore on Coney Island Avenue. One of those bookstores you walk in, you feel like, am I in another dimension? Like, has anyone walked in here and 30 to 70 years. Saw this Diego Rivera book, opened up to a page, and it was like already just being so like, Marviana slashed my back and then we made love. And I was like, yeah, I'm paying the $4.95 for this one.
You were like, somebody has lived a raucous life and I want to dive the F in. So, of course, for those of you who don't know, Diego Rivera, sort of born in the 19th century, did live well throughout the 20th century, lived through two wars, died around the 50s. Frida Kahlo, as you may know, the unibrow.
Famous bisexual.
So like, and they were communists and he was very politically active in various like revolutionary activities, like overthrowing the dictator of Mexico and then sort of like skirting involvement in World War One. He kind of like slithered out of that one.
Yeah.
As we all did.
Oh, of course. He slithered out of World War One, but I mean, the book begins with him at 8 years old, you know, drafting beautiful battle plans and war treaties. And the Mexican army is like, oh, please, will you join? And he's like, but I am just eight.
No, I mean, some of these stories are just like, did this happen?
No, this book is so, a little did it happen.
So he said literally at eight, he's like, I was like just crafting these like insanely complex, like Napoleonic plans for invasions. Because it sounds like a little bit like, you know, autistic dad in the basement with all the little figurines.
Little planes, yes.
And he's like making all these little like foam core cutouts of the Tsar and all the soldiers. And like somehow the generals of Mexico find his
get his papers.
Sketches.
Well, no, first the dad like finds it and is mad because he thinks they're like
forgery, plagiarism.
And he's like, not my son.
Yeah.
Forging battle plans.
And he's like, no,
no
papa.
Dad, they are mine. And then he's like, well, let's go to the generals. And then it's like all these generals smoking pipes and he's eight and they're just
and
being like
cognac.
Yes. And they give him cognac and they're all just like, My, mijo, this is the best battle plan I've ever seen in my entire life. You must join us now and lead us to war and the revolution. And he's like, oh, papa, can I? And they're like, let's go to the president and ask for a law where they let kids into the army at age 12.
And they're like, and they did pass the law so that I could become the next Generalissimo. And you're just like, huh.
No.
Okay. But then he was like, but then I was more into painting.
So he's like kind of left that dream. I do think, you know, this book, while is a little bit maybe more kind of influenced by magical realism. Like, yes, it's a memoir.
Right. Very Gabriel Garcia Marquez.
Yeah. But, you know, I think
when I haven't read.
who famous for the Year of Magical Thinking, which I know
famously.
All about.
where it's just like, you know, I think the mythos in Mexican history is kind of a large part of.
Yes.
So it's like, yeah, I think some stuff happened. Is some stuff embellished?
Right. Maybe. And it's interacting with myth. You could say it's autofiction in a way, and he's the original Rachel Cusk.
Diego Rivera walked so Rachel Cusk could run. In the beginning, if I may go back to really his early childhood.
He was a twin. So he's haunted by the fact that he's a twin and his brother died like a week later of pneumonia. Obviously, it's like, even though this is happening in the 20th century, it still seems like everyone's getting their leg amputated, dying of meningitis and tuberculosis like every 5 minutes in this book. Frida had like 5 miscarriages. His mom continues to try to have kids and is just always having stillborns.
Constantly, and everyone's always like crying at a vigil and going to church. And he's like, I hate the Catholic Church. I won't go. But so since his mom is so depressed, they send her to midwife school so she can like get a job and be distracted.
And there's like, and it totally worked. Because she was literally living in the cemetery by his little brother's grave and she wouldn't leave. And they were like, she's going to go mad unless she gets a job.
How do we prevent her from lunacy?
I'm a little bit like...
Some of you need that.
Some of y'all. I'm looking at Bushwick, honey.
Yeah.
Like, some of y'all are going mad without a job.
Let's send you to ITT Tech and I think you're going to be a lot happier. Right. So they sent him to like live with this woman in the mountains who he considers much more of his mother than his actual mother, Antonia.
Yes.
And like he's always like being smothered into Antonia's breasts. And then he's like, basically my real parents are Antonia and this goat who I would hang out with every single day and drink milk from the udders.
Right.
And he was like, my body became so advanced from the goat milk that when I returned to my mother, like, he claims it was too advanced for his age.
But then he also describes himself as being, like, insanely obese.
Well, that's later on.
I guess he's 20, but I arrived in Spain on the 6th of January, 1906. I was 20 years old, over 6 feet tall, and weighed 300 pounds, but I was a dynamo of energy. And he's like a big boy his whole life.
That's the thing. I mean, I think because he was so maybe advanced for his age, if I may read a passage here, my first experience of love.
Oh, when he loses his virginity?
Yeah. And this kind of sets the stage for, say it with me, him being a P-I-M-P.
Yes, ma'am.
The P standing for Polly. Yeah. Of great importance to me at this period was my first experience of sexual love. My mistress was a young American teacher at the Protestant school. She was 18 years old and as beautiful and sensitive a creature as any I have known. Though I was only 9, I was already virile. It excited her to discover in me an unsuspected, deep-rooted masochism, and she would thrill me by reciting stories about the holy martyrs. With her, I came to manhood suddenly and completely was spared the torment of solitary yearning, which is the usual lot of a growing boy. I'm like, I'm dead that he's like, yeah, I had sex at 9, so I didn't have to be like all other 12-year-old boys just like jerking off.
I'm jerking like off and losers. So sad. And I was just fucking Mary Kay Letourneau, like clerical ass teacher. Talking about like all of the saints.
And like he's getting off and she's like, and then this Saint Stephen was stoned to death.
And it's like he's trying to make it be like so religious and Catholica and just be like, it was so like Sancta Maria. And like there's like blood coming out of like the Jesus's eyes like while he's coming, but it's a little bit like it's actually just, she's just a freaky little Mary Kay Letourneau.
No, yeah, she's a freak. And then he sleeps with like another woman, then he's like, and then I actually didn't fuck till I was like 4 years later. Like I had a total dry spell.
Yeah, I don't know. From 9 to 13 was crazy dry for me. And he's like, and then I met another like 22-year-old.
And so like after his kind of, he decides like he doesn't want to be a revolutionary. He like goes to art school because he realized he loves the work of the pencil.
Wait, can we just say his full name? Which he says on page 3. Diego Maria de la Concepción Juan Nepomuceno Estanislao de la Rivera y Barrientos Acosta. E. Rodriguez.
So sexy.
So sexy.
And you know, Frida was always like
saying all saying his 11 names when she's like, cussing him out.
Yeah, being like, you come here right now. You come to my bedside.
And she's bashing him with a frying pan. And he's just like, ah, lo siento, please forgive me. But you know I'm a dog. And she's just like, oh, I do know you're a dog.
This whole book is basically him being like, I am a dog.
Yeah.
And I will never stop being a dog. Like, he's very honest.
Open doggery.
And he's like, look, I never, like, said I could be faithful. And if you thought I could, like, check your damn self.
So he goes to art school and he wins a contest amongst his friends for being rude. For coming up with the dirtiest insult. My prize winning obscenity was copulate with your mother and gargle with her menstrual juice. You know, there's this interesting motif throughout the book of menstruation.
Yes.
Menarche, as we say in some communities. And it's like he is so like a guy who's grossed out by periods, which is very immature, I think, in this way. Because I think there's some of his being actually like hyper, you know, mature at a young age. And like they put him in the army at 9 and like losing the virginity at 9 is actually kind of an arrested development because he was like adulted too much as a child. And so now then as an adult, he's actually more childish and is a little bit just more like, ew, periods.
Ew, gross.
Like, there's that moment when he literally gets in the fight with Minerva or whatever.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, we couldn't have sex if she was in her period. Gross. And then she tried to kill me.
And it's like, yeah, I would slash her ass too. This part is damn crazy where it's like he's about to leave one of his... Were they officially married? It's hard to keep track sometimes.
No, he was cheating on Angeline, his first wife, with
her. With Marvina.
Yeah.
And then...
in Paris and, like, doing so many paintings.
He wants to, like, leave Marvina for...
Well, he wants to go back to Angeline, which is so... I mean, again, the doggery. Just being, like, he literally, like, left Angeline to go, like, live with this other woman for 6 months. And then was kind of just like, I don't know, you're on your period, you're crazy, I'm kind of done with you, I'm going to go back to Angeline.
And then Marvina... As he's like, well, I wouldn't fuck her because she was on her period. But he was like, I guess we could have like one last 1920s like embrace kiss. In 1917, I left Angeline and lived with Marvina as my wife for half a year. Inevitably, it was an unhappy union filled with excruciating intensity, which sapped us both. At last, we agreed it was impossible for us to live together any longer. Before we parted, however, Marvina asked for one last tryst. But this meeting proved frustrating because she had begun to menstruate. As I was leaving her hotel room intending to return to Angeline, Marvina embraced me. A knife was hidden in her sleeve, and as I kissed her for the last time, she carved a wide gash in the back of my neck, in the same place where years before the mounted policeman of Diaz had struck me with his sword. All at once, I began to hear many small golden bells ringing, each note clearer than the one before, the carillon ending with a cathedral-like chime whose reverberation seemed to penetrate to the center of my brain. As I lay on the floor unconscious, Marvina cut her throat. Neither of us died, however. This part is so Peggy Guggenheim. A few days later, Marvina was again sitting at the cafe tables with a bandage around her neck, which, with the war having just ended, was quite in fashion.
That part, it's like a couple days later, she's just like having her coffee.
She's having like absinthe and espresso.
Why?
At a like Barcelona cafe.
Why is the neck bandage in fashion post-war? Like, because everyone had just been like, oh, I injured in the war.
It's literally Red Cross Corps. No.
Where everyone's in casts and slings.
Celebrity Book Club.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling scented coffins or outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. You know, okay, it's actually just so funny because what I love about Shopify is no matter how huge and massive you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control. Yes, daddy. And take your business to the next level because we're business women. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. I'm talking Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklyn, and all your favorite DTC brands. Do you want to be a Brooklyn in business, or do you want to be the sad girl selling candles on the subway? Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/bookclub. That's shopify.com/bookclub, all lowercase. If you do it uppercase, it won't work. Just like your sales if you don't use Shopify. Shopify.com/bookclub.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Celebrity Book Club. Wait, the part where he says when he like goes to Spain and he's like studying there, and he always wore a sombrero because it was the only hat that would fit his huge head.
His massive ass.
And he's just wearing a sombrero like every day because he's like, those little Spanish fedoras wouldn't fit my huge head because I'm a monstrosity.
I meant him going into a fedora store and he's like trying it on and they're like, sir, it simply doesn't fit. He goes back to his like beautiful little apartment and is like, well, back to the sombrero.
Because of course you have to wear a hat. Yeah. So he goes to art school and he starts to kind of lay out his philosophy about art. He like starts to learn about pre-conquest art in Mexico. So the indigenous art, Aztec art, Indian art. And he's like, oh, this art is so much more expressive and colorful and vibrant and interesting.
Than
and
like conservative colonial
yes,
oil
like,
paintings.
And, you know, fuck all the old world styles. And so I read that, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, he's like really into this indigenous art. And he places his art within that like grand tradition, is inspired by those like color palettes and that style. But then it's like, okay, yeah, like fuck Renoir. But then he's like, just like, I love Renoir. And
oh,
he's
then
like,
he loves Cézanne.
Well, I mean, Cézanne was like more of like an impressionist and like he's into like the newer people and of course is into cubism and like becomes a cubist briefly. But he's
we'll
also
get into
like
his relation with Picasso.
But he's also like very much into all the old masters and is like, you know, I was really impressed by Renoir and I'm learning from all of them. And of course, so striker, he's like, I love Goya and I love Hieronymus Bosch and like how freaky and fucked up they were. And like he's going to the Prado or whatever. Or he's just like, I sat in front of the Goya. Yeah, because I'm different. I'm not like other girls.
Yeah, I sat in front of the Goya for hours.
Because some people are freaked out by it, but not me.
Sorry, not me.
But he did want to talk about his art for a second.
Yeah, I was wondering, like, are you a fan?
Okay.
Like,
I'm
before the book?
I guess I'm of two minds. So it's like, I feel like his art has this kind of very, like, matte, rounded quality to it. And, like, the figures are always very rounded and, like, very large, which I think does have, like, this indigenous connection. It has, like, there's, like, a real, like, fecundity to it. Like, I feel like it's very, like, the divine feminine and everyone's very, like, you know, round and, like, life-giving.
Well, and he loves women
yes.
as much as
it's every,
he may.
Everything is like a breast. It's like every,
yes, he is a dog, but he also is like, I love them and I want to like honor like the indigenous women that are Antonia's ancestors.
Yes. And so it's like a kind of against this like more angular like classical European style. But like, you know that like flatness I'm kind of talking about where it's like, it feels like there's like a kind of a pastelliness. And he talks about loving pastels too. Like, I feel like that's a very much a precursor inspiration to like the Nicole Eisenmans of our era. And then like all of the queer artists who like copy Nicole Eisenman now, which is just like with their like everyone. Domestic scenes yeah. where it is like the knee is like so big and like everything is kind of
background.
Like rounded and like has this very like life-giving like quality to it.
Well, and it's interesting, he talks about how Americans looked down on murals, which became his main thing, because I think Americans, which probably still do today, see it as kind of just like public art.
Right. And like, he was like, became such a big fan of public art, was like, oh, I mean, this was, you know, during the 30s and everything.
Right.
Was
when his work became like more political and about like, I'm doing labor workers and like, here's Stalin, but like next to a big breasted woman, like next to a car factory. Yeah.
And there was this great moment, of course, and you know, in like the WPA and like America was having this moment with the New Deal where we were like maybe going to like, we're embracing more like socialist concepts and like building these grand train stations and like grand public spaces that could be enjoyed by all. And so it was like a great fit for that kind of political theorizing.
And then though, there was an insane controversy though, where Rockefeller commissioned him for this massive mural.
What we're calling the Lenin Affair.
And then Rockefeller is like, ooh, no, you're going to go ahead and have to cover that up. And it was like this big 30s drama. And there is a weird movie in 1999 based off of it.
Okay, wait. So I want to talk about this. So Rockefeller asks him to do this mural in the lobby of some building in Manhattan or something, is it?
Yeah. I literally want to say it's like going to go ahead and be
Rockefeller Center.
Rockefeller
Center. So it is literally 30 Rock. And so like his murals like depict these really kind of like grand, crazy scenes where there's like lots of different like workers and historical figures. And it's just like Stalin, like, handing, like, a peace dove to Uncle Sam, and, like...
No, and then it's, like, train workers, and then it's, like, a jazz musician.
But in this one mural that Rockefeller had commissioned him for, there was Lenin. And, like, Lenin, by the way, is dead at this point. This is in the 30s. And he's, like, Lenin is this symbol of, like, the workers. And, like, this is about celebrating the workers and the working class. And, of course, at this time in America, communism was starting to be this thing that people were really, like, were against. And so they really did not want Lenin in this mural. And there was this controversy over it, and he was like, I'm not going to remove Lenin from it. And they basically
were like, okay, well, we're going to remove
your entire thing. And so Rockefeller cuts him the check, kicks him out of the lobby, and then they literally, like, cover it up, and then they destroy the entire mural.
Which is pretty insane. And then his lawyer is like, you should sue Rockefeller for $250,000.
Because he also like was then kind of banned from making art in the U.S. for a while.
Same, honestly.
I mean, he should have sued, but then he was just like, oh, it's going to be such a thing.
I kind of agree. He's like, maybe I should just move on and like make some frescoes somewhere else.
Because it's also a little bit more about like being then like the folk hero for having him.
It's kind of more badass to be like, I painted this, it got covered up, I'm out.
Yeah. But also, okay, this is so, like, cancel culture, where it's like, he does that, and then you would think, okay, he'd be such a hero, and then he's like, oddly enough, communist leaders such as Robert Minor, Sidney Bloomfield, and my old friend Joe Freeman, editor of The New Masses, denounced the work as reactionary and counter-revolutionary and condemned me for having betrayed the masses by painting in capitalistic buildings.
It's just, you can't it's win.
So Instagram just being like, actually, let's talk about he is actually a full reactionary because this painting
it's
depicting
someone
Lenin.
Posting like, so you may have been in support of this painting, but do know that he was actually paid by Rockefeller, who paid him $250,000.
That's and blood so, money.
Yes. Is that okay? So if you do support that painting, no. And then he was excommunicated from the Communist Party and he keeps on like begging and sending them letters to let him back in. And they're like, no. And then they finally let him back in like in the 50s.
I mean, and this is the problem with sort of leftism and all organizing where it's just, it all becomes a circular firing squad and it's all about purity and just like intra.
And they're like, you're not pure
squabbling.
Enough.
And like, it's always going to devolve into that. Okay, but back to the art. Okay, wait.
Back to the art, I actually don't think of it as so flat. It's... Interesting that you use that word.
I think because there's a lot of like big expanses of like one color. Like there's big areas in it, you know what I'm saying? Where it's like
big.
Yeah, but even the like on the knee or on the head or on the flower, it's like here's like a big area of all one color. Like there's kind of a pointless thing happening too with like
I feel
the
like
technique,
it's more
but
it's, I don't get flat, I get much more like multi-dimensional, almost like trippy with the colors. And shapes.
I agree with that as well. But do you see, but I mean, maybe matte is the better word. Do you see what I mean by matte?
Yes. Though? I see what you mean by matte.
Like it's not like you think of like just a classical style painting that is like.
I guess I think of the word flat to me as such a insult.
Well, yeah, maybe take that kind of judgment out of the equation. We're just talking about aesthetics. We can be evaluative without being judgmental, right?
Can we? And that's a question about the word flat. Weigh in.
Because that's when I like connected to the Nicole Eisenman. It's like, you see what I'm saying? Where it's like very like shape driven.
Right. I agree with that.
Yeah. But this is where I'm going to maybe say maybe his work is cringe. I suggested as a compromise that I replace the contrasting nightclub scene in the left half of the mural with the figure of Abraham Lincoln, symbolizing
this
the reunification
one.
Of the American states and the abolition of slavery, surrounded by John Brown, Nat Turner, William Lloyd Garrison, Wendell Phillips, and Harriet Beecher Stowe, or with a scientific figure like Cypress McCormick, whose reaping machine had contributed to the victory of the Union forces by facilitating the harvesting of wheat in the fields of Diplomat Bend. I'm like, it's so literal where he's just like, here are these historic figures. Like, I feel like he literally would be painting the mural today that's like, RBG.
No, I know. Like, Biggie.
In Nelson Mandela, like in heaven, like smoking a bong together.
With Marilyn like, Monroe.
Like dapping Marilyn Monroe. Like it's a little that.
No, I feel like that's why I've always been with his work. Like some of them, like the one I'm looking at right now, where you're like, you're doing a bunch of people here.
Yeah.
And being like, it's a scientist with Billie Holiday. Right. And Billie Holiday is with Megan Rapinoe.
But then it's like the style is cool. And
you also have to think not that many people at that time were doing that. So now we're seeing that as maybe like Biggie and Marilyn.
And it's also the context. I love
RBG.
I love like deco architecture with huge murals in a lobby. Like that's so beautiful. And it does feel like such a celebration of public space and civic life and like
that's
workers.
That's why we need to respect
and society. And I do really love that. But obviously, when we see a mural today of Biggie and RBG together, yes. We can't help but say, even if it isn't a public space, we're just being like, that's embarrassing.
And I think that's what happens is that's kind of his later work, the one that you're referencing. And I do think a lot of the time people get more cringe, painters especially,
for sure.
And artists, because they become like less raw and more of touch and more funded.
I think my favorite pieces of his work are of just like random people, of like the flower seller in the market. And it's just like a woman with flowers. And like there's something so intimate and
I think a little more personal,
yes,
too.
Rather than just like I'm
the commission stuff, which is, but then it's
celebrities.
Always like, it's like that stuff was probably paying for him.
Oh, for sure. It was paying him a pretty penny. Henry Ford paid him $25,000 to do the Detroit murals.
I want to talk about the relationship with Henry Ford for a minute, because this is the classic, you know, it's like you want to be a revolutionary and then you meet a dope guy who makes a lot of money, who likes your work. Problems ensue.
Okay, no, I literally was just like, so yeah, Henry Ford was low-key so chill. And like, actually, we had an amazing conversation. I think he's so funny and smart. I'm obsessed with him. And I did hate that he was a capitalist, and I knew it was going to get me canceled if I like said that I liked him.
Because
so I kind of kept it to myself.
He was also being very like Twitter thread, like why actually like Henry Ford is so dope in saving America, because he was like, Marx did this, like someone else did this, and Henry Ford, he said, made it possible for socialist living because he created so many factories.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and
jobs.
This is the dream of like the Industrial Revolution, is that it liberated workers from the fields, and so their lives wouldn't be so devoted to drudgery. But of course, I feel like that's not...
Well, and everyone is still just being like, we need to bring back American manufacturing.
I know, it's like, Brandon's constantly saying that. It's
and you're like, okay, yes, this like expensive menswear brand I like is making pants in Fall River, Mass, but I don't know if that's going to save America.
Well, they're just being like, we need to have like so many dishwashers made here, like, with really cheap labor, And it's kind of like, well, nobody wants to do that.
No one wants to be like back to the
factory. And that's why the labor gets outsourced to an underdeveloped country. Like, that's literally how the economy works. It's just like.
But as we're saying, maybe if all the Bushwicktonians were being a little more lunch pail, they would be happier.
Yeah, I mean, the Marxist dream, I feel, is that you're not having to work at the factory for 12 hours a day. It's that you're doing like 2 hours in the morning, then you're going fishing. And then you're being
making love with your wife,
and then you're a bartender. And it's like, yes. You're doing all of those like little jobs throughout the day.
And then it's just like, oh, but it's so annoying when those Bushwick guys like do learn to weld because they're like so proud of it and just being like, I weld.
Yeah. Who on earth do you know who welds? I don't know. Cannot name a single welder in my network.
I've definitely like heard of a lesbian in our greater network. Lord knows I don't know the name who welds. But so Ford, just to close the loop before, gives him and Frida a new automobile. And Frida is like, I will not sit in this fancy car. Like, I will not take this lavish present. And so then he returns it to Ford, and then Ford makes her a smaller, more like modest Prius. And she's like, okay, I'll take it. It literally is like your mom not getting a Tesla, but getting her electric Mustang.
Her electric Mustang. Because she's like, I won't support Elon Musk. Okay, wait. I really loved when he was like talking shit about the French bourgeoisie.
Oh, wait.
And like the lay about Bohemians in France, because he's basically actually describing our current society. So he was younger, he's in Paris, blah, blah, blah. I observed too that in the urban industrial workers, the petite bourgeoisie and intellectuals, this same worship of land and property lay just under the surface. He's like, everyone's obsessed with land in France. Even the maddest, gayest, and richest whores and the most bohemian of the artists dreamed of retiring to the country and working their own land with their hands. It's literally
so
like,
true. Like every girl that's like, hold on, puts on Carhartt short jacket.
Puts on Carhartt short jacket. What if I moved to Hudson/Maine?
Kingston, Maine. And I had my practice there and I made ceramics.
And I raised my son, whose name is like Guilford.
Guilford Mays.
Guilford Mays West.
So he's mad at this, and then he goes off on like London middle class people wearing secondhand ball gowns, which I found so funny. And he was like, it's so sad, like they want to be like full nobles and they go to these secondhand shops.
No, and he's literally being like thrifty. He's gross. Gross.
And he's like, oh, you're gonna buy like 2 seasons ago like top coats, yeah, and like gowns and just be walking around the street in a gown.
But then he's like, they're buying them because the Uniqlo of the day or whatever was like shittier quality. He's like, so they didn't want to buy their like shoddy Old Navy. They wanted to buy like hand-me-down Ralph, right, from...
No, it's literally him being like knocking.
But he's like, but they're so bedraggled and sad with their like used pearls.
It is that thing though, sometimes when you see someone and they're like, oh my God, no, like I got off the real real. They're like, it's, you know, like Ralph Simmons or whatever.
Famous designer Ralph Simmons.
Ralph Simmons, it's Armani. And you're like, okay, like, yes, I get it. It's designer, but it's also still dusty as fuck.
No, it's dusty. It's crinkled. It's pressed.
Crinkled, dusty 2001.
I know
Armani
exactly
mules.
What you mean. And like the brass is like on the buckles, like kind of aged. You're like, oh yeah, cool. And you kind of act like you know. You're like, oh yeah, like 2001. Like
right,
that collection's
like,
so cool.
Spring 01,
oh my,
Prada.
Right. Just like the collection that actually invented me. Like, yeah, you're so lucky to have this kind of like dirty leather bag.
So like, he calls it when he sees it. No, you know what I mean?
For sure. He's real. But it's like, you do see the tensions in his constant life of like being like, I'm a revolutionary and I am like a bohemian, but also just like, I'm a bitch and I am going to sit in cafes all day. And like, I'm talking shit about like the privileged class, but also just like,
I am the privileged class.
I am the privileged class. I mean, it's very like,
us.
It's very us. It's very everyone, yeah, today. It's very Twitter. Like,
right, where it's like, you want to be punk and you want to insult this person who has this type of privilege, but also you want to be like poor, but you want to have a TV show.
Yeah. I mean, he does like have, you know, these scrapes with so many different like figures of history. It's kind of insane. He meets Stalin and sketches him. He like sees Hitler making his first speech and his friends are like,
wait,
he's never going to amount to anything.
The Hitler thing like also defines like libs seeing Trump for the first time.
Right.
They like go to the speech and like his friends, his bohemian friends are like, this freaking fool, like don't even. And he's like, I kept on asking Germans, like, what was the deal with Hitler? And he was like, no one really gave me like a clear answer. He also has been like, my friends didn't really get it, but I noticed everyone clapping for hours at Hitler.
Because it's like all the German libs are being so just like, he's crazy. I don't understand.
It's the Weimar Republic.
Why would anyone like him?
And he's like, well, looks like all those fools like him. And then he's like, and sadly, my friends who were laughing did go ahead and did die in the Holocaust. So
yeah. Were they Jewish?
I don't know.
Yeah, or they could have just been like murdered by the SS in some
classic
other way.
Murder. Right. Okay. This is a part of him being kind of a pixie dream girl with Stalin. This part I want to read. I was sitting directly opposite Stalin, taking advantage of my position. I began making sketches of his face. He evidently noticed what I was doing. When I put down my pencil, he walked over and asked to see my pencil sketches. He examined all of them, selected one, and wrote on the back of it in blue pencil, "Greetings to the Mexican revolutionaries," and signed Stalin. As he was inscribing, the chairman declared the meeting over. After Stalin left, we were given the signal to leave the room. Isn't it so, like, girl in the cafe who just starts randomly, like, sketching someone and then just, like, comes over to Stalin and is like, here.
I drew you. Sorry, I don't know. When I get nervous, I sketch.
I just start sketching. And he's like, what's your name?
So guarded that he's wearing big headphones. Okay, I do feel like he's obviously not short of confidence at all. He's constantly amazed by his own work. I just feel like
no,
every chapter is always like, and then my paintings actually were so good. And I entered this new creative era, was like, oh, wait a minute. Now these are really interesting. And everyone
else's
paintings
were boring.
Now I'm
doing a thing on like railroad workers, but like mixed with Mayan mythology. And like everyone was shook. Like when I tell you Mussolini was begging me to come to Italy, honey, like he was. And I said, you're going to be in the ground soon. I'm not coming to Italy.
And he was like, and yeah, I called it, bitch. And like all the like first like exhibitions he's doing like in like Spain and France, and he's just being like, so yeah, my painting stood out amongst the other 6,000 paintings. It was, I guess, kind of the best, you might say.
And when he's getting started, everyone is like obsessed with Picasso, and then he's really bragging about how like Picasso actually takes a liking to him, and he's like, yeah, so actually Picasso was like starting to look at like my early cubism and was like, so by the way, this is amazing. Like, we need to get solo drinks. And he was very like, yeah, like one of my favorite things to do is when me and Picasso get together and we talk shit about other painters. And then all the cubists got really mad at him for leaving cubism. It's like, very when it's just like, oh, you know, a comedian then becomes a more of an actor, like, you know,
right.
A musician, like you, becomes a podcaster.
You left our industry. No, and when a podcaster leaves
to become a musician,
hangs up their microphone for the last time, like it's such a betrayal.
And Picasso was the one who like stood by him and was like, it's actually okay, like that he's,
I mean,
left
he only
cubism.
Started doing cubism because everyone else was doing it. He was just kind of like,
This was my question about cubism and kind of just like Impressionism and Cubism and all kind of the big ones, is like, weren't all those men so mad at each other for being like, okay,
why are you copying me?
Why are you copying me? Like, if Picasso was doing his big funky old shapes and half faces and then everyone else was.
Yeah, it's kind of insane. I mean, like the Impressionists, I guess they all tried to do like one thing differently and they're like, I'm doing it weird in this way. But I feel like today artists, like you could definitely like group a lot of artists' work together as a very similar kind of work. Right. But I don't think they would ever call themselves that. They would never be like,
where the,
yeah,
the flats.
Yeah, where the flats.
My least favorite word.
like they would never admit that they're all copying each
I
other.
I feel like the second or third person to gets copied, but then it becomes a genre.
But like net art was a genre.
Right.
And then like post-internet art, like that was a genre. I feel like now it's very just like everyone is doing painting because painting's always back because...
But people are obsessed with painting.
I mean, people want something that can go on the
wall.
They
could go in the house. You can't
put... That's what sells.
You can put net art sometimes a little bit in the house, but that's if you're really installing a vintage computer.
Ultimately, installation's just...
I mean, and I would. If I had a massive loft, I'd be installing net art.
As I famously said, every room has four walls, but it only has one floor. That's why paintings are always going to sell more than sculpture or installation work. There's just more room in the house.
You've
for
said
them.
This before?
I say this all the time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I guess I missed it. I'm hearing it for the first time myself.
Oh, okay.
So it's really exciting.
Were you at my last salon? I think maybe you were. I think you missed my last salon.
I was sculpting.
And I'm sorry you are.
Just to circle back to his relationship with Frida, it's a lot about how they love each other's mind and they love each other so much. And he's always like fucking other chicks and she would get so mad. But he never touches really on her bisexuality, which I thought was kind of classic.
I mean,
he says at one point and this is in their second marriage, when she says, "We cannot have sex because I'll get too mad at you."
Wait, no, this is amazing. So they've like already broken up and she's like, "Fine, I'll marry you again." And she's also like always getting so sick and like getting her knee amputated.
No, constantly.
And like the doctor is also there just like putting leeches on her or whatever. Like when she's like, "Fine, I'll remarry you." For her part, she asked for certain conditions: that she would provide for herself financially from the proceeds of her own work, that I would pay one half of our household expenses, nothing more, and that we would have no sexual intercourse. In explaining this last stipulation, she said that with the images of all my other women flashing through her mind, she couldn't possibly make love with me, for a psychological barrier would spring up as soon as I made advances. I love how in telling this story, he's still like bragging about all of his other conquests.
All of my conquests. But then he's like, she was on her deathbed. She had seven knees amputated. She loved when I told her of my conquests and how I made love with Paulina and Emelina and Angelina. And he's like, it turned her on. They were so third. Like she slept with...
It literally was Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
Yeah. Like she slept with like Paulette. Like she would sleep with some of his lovers.
Fiery. Okay, I need to see the movie. Does it happen in the movie?
I haven't finished. Okay. But the beginning starts with like her watching him fuck a woman he's painting. And she's being like just a little schoolgirl.
Right. Well, because she starts out and she's like in overalls and like she's being so, hey, mister.
Yeah, like
look
what
at
are
my
you
paintings. And like she's 18, allegedly. And he's just like, even though I was more than twice her age, nobody cared.
No, when
like,
I went,
I'm sure they didn't.
When I went to the Frida house with my mom last summer, I was like staring at the statue of Diego Rivera. I was like, oh, so he's like huge and was like so much older than her.
Like, and absolutely. He's as big as a house.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, damn. So he's kind of like, she was younger. But then
she was attracted to his mind.
At the end of the book, are statements from all of his wives.
Wait, her drag. Okay, this book is so
like,
cool because
sorry, all books need to do that.
Right after the book ends, there's literally a statement from each one of his wives. They're all like savage. The Frida one is so savage.
She's just like his huge, huge belly. He looks like a frog.
Diego's chest. Of it, we have to say that had he landed on an island governed by Sappho, where male invaders were apt to be executed, Diego would never have been in danger. The sensitivity of his marvelous breasts would have ensured his welcome, although his masculine virility, specific and strange, would have made him equally desired in the lands of these queens, avidly hungering for masculine love. So just being like, his butch lesbian ass with his huge titties would have really made a stir.
That's
on
the
Sappho.
Vibe that I was getting from them was like, he was much more like huge butch, stone butch.
Yeah. Which is like big old knockers.
Yeah. And she was like, yeah, take me.
And
like, I'm your
and
like
they're kind
autoimmune.
Of switchy, weirdly.
Yes.
No, she's his so autoimmune, like queer she they, but is still sometimes like strapping up.
I feel like she was strapping up. At least finger
His enormous belly, smooth, tightly drawn, and sphere-shaped, is supported by two strong legs which are as beautifully solid as classical columns. They end in feet which point outward at an obtuse angle, as if Moldifer stands wide enough to cover the entire earth.
Because then there's a point earlier in the book that he says he loses a lot of weight and she hasn't seen him for 2 months, and she sees him and she starts crying because he's lost a lot of weight. But he was like, I was disgusting because my skin looks like
a feeder.
She's having a feeder. He was like, my loose skin looked like an elephant.
Oh, I guess we didn't talk about the penis cancer. He gets cancer of the penis. Yes.
And he keeps on saying, I have cancer of the penis, and like they cure it. And he's like, all scientists across the world wanted to come and look at my dick.
And they kept being like, we have to amputate. And he was like, I would rather die. Yeah.
He's like, oh, the thing that has given me the most pleasure in life besides my frescoes? Don't you dare.
Celebrity Book Club.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I gotta change the oil in my car.
Right now, get 5 quarts of Pennzoil Platinum Full Synthetic with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for only $36.99.
Get in zone.
What do I do with my old oil?
We can recycle your used oil for free.
Get in zone.
And do you have oil for my old work truck?
You can find the right high mileage oil to help it go farther right here at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Segments de la Revolución. Que es vida. Que es comida.
Que es abiar,
maybe.
Where is
Is
clothes?
It not abiar? Portar.
That's like to put.
Anyway, what are his vedamentos?
What does he eat, honey? Pussy.
Period.
At some point, he does like do
menstrual blood.
But
he doesn't enjoy it.
At some point, he's like on this ship and he's like eating the whole time. And he's like, it was lobster, then it was brandy, then it was like steaks, then it was like fruit.
It's really James Gandolfini.
But then he goes on a diet at some point.
Right. Cause he like does have cancer or something. And then they're like, he has to eat like 2 eggs, 2 pieces of black bread, fresh fruit,
1 piece of meat.
And then he does lose weight. He basically goes on Atkins.
Yeah, and then like unsweetened coffee.
A thermos of unsweetened coffee.
And he's like at his pail at Rockefeller Center.
But usually I don't think he's doing it. Usually I think he enjoys alcohol and he is doing brandy and cognac with Picasso and knocking
and
him back.
And wine, and it's all day cafe stuff. I think he's also very classic, like studio guy, where like there is always kind of like some wine in the studio.
Okay, here's my question about Mexican history. If you're an artist in Mexico City in the 1920s,
please.
Was the food also like bean tacos back then?
Or is it more like plato? Yeah, I mean, tortillas were invented like years ago, honey.
That can't be like an invention from the 80s. But I'm just
tacos
like,
were happening.
Okay, so
there will be quesadillas
in Pico de Gallo?
I think it was definitely tacos.
Were there being chalapines? Were there being crickets? Maybe not.
I feel like it was more fresh tortillas.
Right.
Cactus, Nopales.
Nopales. Sí.
And then maybe like egg taco, a lot of breakfast tacos. He loved breakfast tacos. And then probably also like a lot of chicken.
A lot of chicken. He's basically like a manatee. They're just like, yeah, he has to eat up to 3,200 pounds a day.
Like he's doing casual street tacos, but then he's doing like dinner that's like steak and like feast.
I think it's very feast dinner. Just the way that he described having to eat fruit when he went on that diet like, made it sound like he wasn't doing a lot of fruit regularly.
No.
Even though she was being, Frida was being more like oat bowl.
Constant with the oats and the back pain and like.
Oh my God. I was at Cava today. It was madhouse in there. And this guy was ordering.
Never been inside a Cava.
He like clearly had like someone else had like written down what they wanted. And he like was saying to the guys, he kept saying, I want a grain bowl. And they were just like, okay, like what grain? He was like, no, I want a grain bowl.
Oh. So he was like the assistant.
But he was like middle aged. He was like older. Huh. But maybe it was a little bit that movie, The Intern. I feel like he was kind of an older intern. Like, and he just kept saying, I want a grain bowl. And then the guys were just pointing to like the grains, aka like the rice and like the lentils. And like, he wasn't making the connection that those were in fact grains.
And he had to choose his own.
Yeah.
The options. That's the problem with our society.
He was sort of paralyzed by choice.
I think Diego would have been disgusted
by bowl culture.
Bowl culture. Because he's so cafe and long meals.
Yeah.
Not grab and go.
Yeah. And like
and the workers' Sean's. Rights of Uber Eats. And
I mean, he's workers' rights, but he's also a cafe, which is why he is your sort of classic like champagne socialist bohemian layabout.
Right. Like he's not delivery. Sure, no.
He's the total dirtbag leftist.
What does he wear? I think he's very like big pantaloons.
I feel like he does like to dress slightly like revolutionarily.
Yeah, like some sort of white button down, but it's like a little bit like dirty in this way.
I was looking more like military colors, like olive linen shirts that are like a little bit Asian, but also a little bit like communist, but also kind of army.
Army. Wait, this is so crazy because I was going to wear
like kind of Fidel Castro.
I was going to wear this shirt that I got in an Army Navy store today, like in honor of Diego Rivera. And I was like, is this Diego Rivera Corps? Because it felt kind of revolutionary. And like, it was like a tan button down with like multiple pockets.
Okay. Yeah, for sure.
So I think that's what he's.
But I also like, think there's a little bit more of like a linen aspect to it.
It's kind of a big linen jacket, again, covered in paint.
Mm.
I think this just white painter's shirt with like ruffles and then like pleated pants.
Also, maybe he does have a tailor in Mexico City. In Coyoacan that he's going to because he's a big boy and like
I think he's getting his pants like enlarged.
For sure there's an enlargening happening. And then how does he live? Obviously they live in their gorgeous modernist home. I mean you've seen their home.
I've seen their home and it's fab. I mean seeing their separate bedrooms and it's
and that's how a marriage stays happy.
Yeah. A lot of colors.
Do they have like fully separate wings of the house?
It's like her bedroom, but then like another bedroom. It's very like, and then this is the bedroom she was like sick in. I kind of feel like they were a little Amanda Knox style, like some nights sleeping with each other, some nights he would probably be like painting and then just like retire to her like.
When you say Amanda Knox style, you're referring to the Slate article she wrote about how you should switch sides of the bed with your lover.
Yeah.
Just so everyone gets that reference.
Hop on board.
All right, who are you in the book?
I don't think either of us
are really him. I do
have
like
a there was confidence, a, honestly.
There was
of
a point
him.
Where he was late to like a dinner that like one of his revolutionary friends was poisoned at, and he was just like, "Oh, thank God I was late," or otherwise it would have been poison. So I did sort of relate to being late.
Totally.
But other than that, I didn't really see myself in him.
Yeah, I don't know if you're so like 8-year-old drawing battle hymns.
No. And he's very prolific. You know, he does a lot of work.
No. Diego Rivera, accomplished. I think we can all agree okay. on that.
He fucking churned it out.
I kind of think you're Frida.
And I'm getting my leg amputated.
Yes. Honestly, you definitely think you need to get your leg amputated.
For sure, for sure.
And I feel like you're like, stop seeing with people, but I want to hear about it.
Because
you want to get mad about it.
Yes.
But kind of like in a fake, like dramatic way.
Yes. And I have great interior style.
You have like this like crazy stunning, you wish you had Frida's house.
Oh, I want a courtyard.
And
you are the London peasants wearing hand-me-down wool coats.
Literally. I'm like, No, I paid 60 quid. Didn't you know that, like, the prince wore this once?
Okay. This book is real fun. I give it a 4 out of 5 murals of workers in beautiful public settings.
I give it, honestly, 4.5 wives out of 5 wives. I've never said audibly, oh my God, so much, just kind of to myself while reading this book, with kind of the amount of just like, did you just say that?
Did you just say that?
And, you know, clocking in at 200 pages, there's...
Very readable. It is chronological, but the chapters are like small little vignette-y, which I also really like.
Like, you can kind
it's
of
not
just
a
like,
slog at all.
Pick up the and Nazis learn how to deal with me, or just like Frida. And
I think he has a great, very succinct way of describing people. Like, even just being like, you know, my mother was diminutive, almost childlike, with large, innocent eyes, but adult in her extreme nervousness. Like, it's just a great way of describing someone's character and physicality in a super efficient way.
It's insanely efficient. I actually think people should study this if they're going to write a memoir.
Yeah.
Like, he packs in 2 wars, 5 wives, and 180 pages, and it's funny.
Period.
Period.
Anyway, yeah, check out his artwork.
I think it's actually now on display at the MoMA.
It's available in museums around the globe.
Yeah. Anyone you walk into, it's probably there.
Start the movie, finish the movie.
Finish the movie, start the book, pick up a paintbrush, sketch Stalin. You know what to do.
Yeah.
Best.
Best.
Celebrity Book Club, the podcast, beautiful genre of work, was produced by Darby Masters, my first and third wife. The supervising producer, Haba Zufar, of course raised me in the mountains, healed me from tuberculosis. I haven't seen him in years, but he visits me in the night. I know he does.
He comes in the form of a ghost. But the ghost comes in the form of a beautiful flower.
And the flower grows around my beautiful house outside of Mexico City.
There's a colored glass in the window. It's very charming. It was executive produced by the scoundrel, rat, dictator, Generalissimo Cristina Everetto. La musica was made by Stephen Philipshorst.
Who was actually Mussolini's hired composer, controversial composer.
Yes, yes.
He made music for war.
He's dead. Teddy Blanks did the graphic design, an artist of great acclaim. We met at the Austrian school in Paris when I was 25. I was much, much better than him, but I knew he would have a career doing commercial work.
How grand for him. This podcast was originally co-created, of course, in Russia with Parallel Projects.
And Stalin.
And a woman. I can't even say her name legally on this.
Yeah, and she's also dead. And amputated.
Go to patreon.com if you would like to support the arts.
Support the arts for once instead of buying some new flashy Ford
card. And here's another
card.
Way to support the arts. You go to itunesmusic.com and you review this podcast and you give it 5 stars. Gracias.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Leesa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Tenor girl go shopping.
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.